You are listening to Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. This is Eddie Torres, and with me, as always, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
What's up?
How you doing, Earl?
I'm still trying to digest all the wrestling.
It's still going.
Last couple weeks, I even watched NXT. Oh, man.
Earl, you're watching more than me. I didn't even watch NXT, dude.
I sped through it. It was pretty rough. But, and then there's something called MLF or...
MLW?
That's on, I think, Access TV now.
And, they're a solid organization. MJF came from there. So, I mean, they've got a lot of talent that's kind of brewing that will eventually be in AEW or WWE at some point. I brought gifts.
I'll take them. I'm Jewish.
So, per your request.
Oh, I love it.
Here's a Jay Briscoe armband for you. And since you mentioned you like stickers, I got you a Ring of Honor sticker. Yeah, so that's for you, John.
This is pretty rare, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they're not easy to come, but I don't think they sell those.
I mean, I asked... my friends on the AEW roster, they're like, dude, I didn't even get one. Like, it was, I guess they were only giving out to...
Well, I was lucky, like I said last time, that I was lucky to sit behind them, the family, and they gave me a couple. So they gave me one and it didn't fit, so they gave me a second one. Good. And then that one fit. So it's a rare item. So I'm glad you have it. Now you got to wear it on stage every time you go on stage.
It'll be on eBay in about 2 hours. No, I'm just kidding. I will wear it. Like, it's a big... It's an honor to have one of these because it's not like
where are you going to wear it?
On stage.
Okay.
Where'd you think I was going to wear
it? I don't know. That's what I was curious about.
When he wrestles next time?
Well, I mean, enough wrestlers are doing comedy. I might as well start wrestling.
Yeah, dude, let's do a tag team. I've been working out. I'm ready. Let's go.
I could take some bumps.
I would watch that.
I want to be put through a table on the main stage.
That'll be fun. I think once we finally establish Raw as War live event, or Store as War, not Raw as War, Store as War live event, maybe we can do that.
But enough wrestlers come here now where, you know, they like the attention as much as we do. Hey, you want to come on stage and put me through a table? Yeah, man.
Absolutely. I mean, last week, what was it? Not even last week, it was this week. A couple days ago, we had LA Knight in the building.
Who is a lot bigger in person.
Yeah, he's jacked.
Like, these guys, it's like the NBA. You know, you meet an NBA player, like, on the streets, you're like, oh, my God, this guy's huge. But, you know, when you're watching on TV, they all look the same size.
Yeah.
So they look normal. So he is a big...
Richie's been texting me for days talking about how big he is.
LA Knight?
Our GM, Richie.
Who is a closet wrestling fan.
Yeah. Is he, though?
I don't know if it's closet. He was standing here, like, hugging the belt.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to fuck the belt. That's in front of Earl right now.
It is Richie. This is an amazing belt. Like, I'm not doing a commercial for, what's the company's name?
WWE.
Yeah, but
they made
who made
that.
It? Who made
WWE.
It?
WWE. Oh, really? Yeah, that's their belt.
I'm out of the loop. But, I mean, this is...
It wasn't Trophy Smack, even though Trophy Smack did make the Not Sam Wrestling belt. But that's an official WWE belt.
Oh, I thought this was a Trophy Smack. No. Oh, the WWE really made this? Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty special.
Well, so what? For the listeners, so they came in, they had the auditions here for the crowd, for the mic work, and had like 50 or so wannabe superstars auditioning. And then because myself, the GM, and our executive assistant helped them set the whole thing up and get the deal done, they gave us each a belt. And we were in here with Dolph interviewing him. That episode's live now. But Richie came in with the belt. He couldn't wait to show it off. we're talking to Dolph, and we had very limited time. He had to go run to the next event. And we just hear fidgeting on the side over here, and it's Richie. He just had to take the belt out.
Yeah, he was trying to get it on camera, I think, but he didn't want to interrupt.
It was insane. And then he threw it over his shoulder and started hugging it.
Yeah, like hugging it. Not like a wrestler does. He was just like like a baby, like, oh.
With two hands, it was a legit hug. And then then he met LA Knight that day when he was here for the auditions because he was on the panel. And then he was like, oh, that man's big. And then LA Knight came back just to see a show last night. And Richie's been texting me nonstop. He called me today, actually. And he's like, that man was big. LA Knight is huge. Yeah, he's a big dude.
Big shoulders, big traps. That was the thing I noticed. He was like wide.
Yeah.
He has like a warrior type body. Like, yeah. He's that jacked. If you, you know, haven't seen him in person, like he's a big boy. Yeah. And very nice, too. Like,
nicest guy.
Yeah.
They really all are. I got to be honest with you. We've been interacting with, what, about 100 wrestlers, you know, give or take, the last 2 weeks. Not one dick in the bunch.
Yeah, I got to say the same. I mean, I've, you know who are, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. Non-wrestlers are more dickish. Like the other employees of the, like staff members, some of those are a little dickish. But wrestlers themselves are not so bad.
Should we, this isn't on the rundown sheet, but should we expose what happened in the main room, green room that night?
Sure. What happened? Did Eddie fuck someone?
If anything,
someone?
We can cut it out, but yeah, sure.
Wait, well, I want to know, I don't know what happened. What happened?
We're in the green room. You know, I'm giving them a history of the green room. Jeremy Borash and a pretty high-ranking WWE executive.
Oh, my God.
Whose wife is in AEW. So I'm like, this is my shot. And my friend Cassio, who was on the Ric Flair roast, they were with him. And Cassio just looks at me and goes, send in the picture. So I'm going up to this WWE executive, and I have a feeling he was pretty high up there. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm just a struggling wrestler. I'm just trying to make it in the business. And I just got some new photography done. Can you show me if like Vince or Triple H would like this picture?
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no.
And yep.
Like, he had some in him, and I show him my dick pic. And he literally was like, he couldn't take his eyes off it.
He was like, I think we got something there to work with.
Yeah. So you might see me on WWE TV.
Yeah, you never know. I think he was a director of media or some shit. Like,
he's
really
pretty
high.
I mean,
there.
Jeremy Borash is a big, I guess you would call him a wrestling reporter, wrestling, and I believe he works with NXT now.
Wait, where? He was?
He was in the green room Saturday night after, you know.
When Ryan was around.
Ryan, Hollywood Hunk.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I met Jeremy Borash at the auditions Thursday.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came back with Ryan to hang out.
And I showed it to him, and then Ryan was the Hollywood Hunk. I don't know what he goes by. Mr. Hunk. He was gracious enough, if you watch this week's episode of The Elite.
Being the Elite. BTE. BTE.
I am in it twice.
You are. And it leads right into Kenny.
And right, it goes right into Kenny Omega. So yeah. It's been a good week.
Earl's been jerking off to that for
100%.
Days.
I mean, if you were to tell me 2 weeks ago, you're going to be in the Being the Elite series and your segment leads into a Kenny Omega segment.
It was great, man. It was a fun time. My voice can be heard talking about Andy Kaufman pooping in that toilet back there.
Lois is...
Lois makes an appearance.
Viewed several times my dog. And so it was a great 2 weeks of hijinks.
It was a lot. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's, but that's what we do it for. Like, yeah. You know, so
this is what we've been working on all year since we started the pod, is something this big. And it's really great. You know, my second appearance on BTE, by the way, I'm not going to try and... upstage you or anything.
Well, that's because you keep sneaking into their green rooms.
No, I snuck into their Bullet Club invasion of Monday Night Raw a few years back when they invaded.
That's not hard to believe.
Yeah, that was fun. All right, well, we got some stories. The wrestling world, obviously, Sunday night after Mania was very sad at Cody Rhodes lost to Roman. You know, as I've had some more time to digest it, I have to say, like, it's, of course he did. Of course he did. Like, why did we let ourselves believe that there was a chance that maybe possibly someone would topple Roman? But that made everybody sad. So we were all hoping that the Raw after Mania was going to be this big, full of surprises, kind of adventurous type of thing. But people were let down. A lot of people were upset. It wasn't a very good Raw. But I wasn't upset with the thing that pissed off people the most. Most people are very upset about Brock Lesnar turning on Cody when they were supposed to tag against Roman and Solo, I think it was. But I actually like the fact that Cody is going to have to defeat Brock now. I like that. I like that he has another story for now just to kind of build up. We can let Roman and the Bloodline disintegrate within itself. Like, we've already saw it tonight on SmackDown. I saw Jay and he stopped Solo from spiking Sami Zayn. So, like, that's going to be the story moving forward. It's going to be Roman and Jay, and, like, is he going to leave? Is he going to turn? If Roman destroys Jay and Jimmy, Solo's going to leave him too. Like, I think that's what's going to happen. The crumbling of the Bloodline leading into another rematch with Cody after Cody beats Brock and maybe a few other names. Who knows?
I don't like it at all. Totally made him look weak.
You think so?
He didn't even get any offense against.
Well, it was a surprise attack.
Yeah, but he squashed him. Like, so a squash after a loss, you're just burying the guy.
Well, it wasn't even a match though. It was just
it's still a squash. Yeah, like, yeah. He looks very weak right now, and I just don't. I would have rather them had Cody and Solo do something. You know, because he's the one who cost him the match.
True.
So, I mean, but I also would rather have seen Cody win at WrestleMania. I think it's a better storyline that now Roman has to chase Cody.
Right.
You know, so, and that WrestleMania, you know, it was a cool moment to see Cody in the ring, you know, by himself, kind of sulking and sad. I think it was 100 times better moment, him and the family with the kids. Kissing, looking up, you know, we discussed this, you know, last episode, but that would have gone viral. In my opinion, it would have been discussed a lot more. So burying him, in my opinion, the night after WrestleMania, I don't think Lesnar, it's crazy to think that to a lot of the young, I was with the Make-A-Wish Foundation section. So there's a lot of kids who don't know who Cody is. You know, it's crazy. But they don't watch AEW, you know, 13-year-olds, and you know, a lot of people don't watch AEW. So I think you needed to build Cody up a little more.
Well, I think that's what's happening. You look back a few years back when they were shoving Roman down our throat. People were mad. I was mad. I was like, this is bad booking. He's going over everybody. This is bullshit. But it ended up working. Like, it made Roman feel bigger. Like, Roman is now in what they say God mode, and it's believable, and everybody's behind it too. Like, everybody throws the ones in the air. Everybody's behind Roman now, when before it was hatred and bad booking, but it kind of led to this moment now where we have this monster Roman, and I think we have time. Cody signed a multi-year deal, so we have time. We have time to build this up even longer, maybe give him the Mania 40 main event. And he takes it there. 40 is a big number. It's a, you know, it's a historical number, better than 39, I guess. So we might, you know, it all depends on how this all plays out. The reporters, you know, the Dave Meltzers and the Sean Ross Saps and all the Fightful and all these people were reporting that the reason Ross seemed so shitty was because Vince was back. Vince was in the house behind in Gorilla with the headset on and directing everything, but it was also reported that this whole angle with Brock was in the works for a month before Vince did this. So this is something they've been planning for a while.
I mean, it was the most predictable thing ever. As soon as I saw Brock come out, I was like, there's no way that Brock and Roman are fighting a match on Raw.
Right.
And then as soon as they were tag partners, I was like, okay, he's turning on Cody. But I agree, it's a smart move. I think it's a smart move because it's going to be able to hold them off until this, what we found out tonight was the draft.
Right.
And that may be how they split up two titles. Roman is now going to have one title. Raw or SmackDown is going to have the other title. And then you could have two big headlining matches at pay-per-views. Or Roman, you can be defending a world title without Roman having to wrestle because he's obviously not wrestling at every event. You can have a Cody Brock for the world title. And then if you want to unify them down the road, you have a champion versus champion again. But they need to split up those titles. Enough's enough, and you could keep Roman champion as long as you want. At this point, no one's going to care.
Yeah.
If he loses to Jay, it'll be just as big a pop as if he lost to The Rock. Maybe not, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's The Rock's not happening. That was supposed to be the big plan everybody was looking forward to. It wasn't happening. they're on to the next part of the story.
Sure. Yeah, that's that was the big announcement. They made social media announcements that Triple H was going to address the universe, the WWE universe, today on SmackDown. And everybody thought it was going to open the show, but it didn't. It was somewhere like in the middle. And he came out and said, we're having a draft, and it's going to really matter this time. It's going to change the game. And every superstar is up for drafting, which is cool.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I mean, I guess they didn't really do that. They just picked a handful, like 20, 30 people. And I guess now it's everyone.
Well, they're not going to they're not going to report every single wrestler's.
Or they might do it online. Like, they'll do some on TV.
But they've done that for years.
Yeah, but not every wrestler. Not every wrestler gets drafted. I think this year they're going to do every wrestler, I guess.
It doesn't even make sense to me. What do you mean not every wrestler? There was no wrestler that was on both shows except for possibly the champion that was defending on both shows.
You know, yeah, I just mean that there's been in the past drafts where they don't even talk about, like, they don't even tell you.
Oh, a superstar just ends up somewhere.
Like
just
a guy
shows
like
up.
Elias.
Yeah, he just shows up, and yeah, like, I guess he's on SmackDown now.
Oh, so you think they're going to announce
They're going to announce every
person.
Wrestler, and maybe not on the TV, but they'll announce every single person that's going to be, you know, maybe they'll show a list. I don't know.
I hope they draft some of these fucking losers to NXT. I'm so over Matt Riddle. It's only day two.
Yeah.
Send him back.
Brutal.
He's so bad, and the way he hits tonight, he was hitting Jey Uso. He was like love tapping. Get the fuck back to NXT.
Yeah, he could use some more time in NXT, especially with a long layoff like he had. But I'm excited to see where this goes. They said it's going to happen in a couple weeks. It'll happen soon. I'm assuming before Backlash in Puerto Rico, which is going to be interesting. Hopefully nobody gets stabbed in a locker room.
Bruiser Brody callback.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Hopefully it's cool.
Bray Wyatt on tonight? Wyndham. Like, what are they doing with that guy?
I mean, we're going to be able to tell really quickly if Vince is actually back.
Yeah. LA Knight was there.
He was, and that's why I'm like, thank God. Maybe Triple H is not completely out of the picture.
Yeah, that was so people were worried. Everybody was waiting for tonight to be like, okay, Vince is officially back, depending on how SmackDown worked out. But we had Imperium on, and we had Legado de Fantasma, or the LWO now. I don't know. It felt like a Triple H show.
It did, but I'm also fucking sick of Imperium. Like, they're leading up to Sheamus taking the title. There's the one belt he hasn't captured yet. Give him the fucking belt.
Yeah.
Tired of, like, these two headliners and their scrubs fighting every single week. How many times are we going to have this six-man tag match?
I agree. I mean, even my wife pointed out. She was like, haven't we seen this, like, three times? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, just in the last 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because they keep putting on good matches. I think that's what it is. They're like, they're not going to have that good of a match with anybody else than with each other. So let's just keep throwing them in there. But I'm ready for that to move on. I don't want that. I'm in a pickle. I want Sheamus to get that belt, but I also don't want Gunther to lose it. I don't know.
He's got to lose it eventually.
Eventually, sure. And if it's Sheamus, great, because he deserves that. But yeah, there's so much going. It's incredible that it's been almost a whole year of just chaos in pro wrestling. Always just constant chaos. We had the debacle with the Raw after Mania, the news that WWE and UFC has merged. I don't think we got to talk about that last time.
Not really.
No, we recorded on Monday and it got announced. We talked about it a little bit Monday, but I think now we know the details a little bit more.
Yeah. So Endeavor, the parent company of the UFC, has merged with the WWE. Vince is retaining his chairman spot. Hopefully Triple H is retaining his creative spot. But what do you guys want to see out of this deal? Like, Dana White spoke on it a little bit, saying that they're not going to do any crossovers, right? You know, that... They want to keep the entertainment scripted stuff on one end and the real fighting on this side, but you know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So what would you like to see happen? Like, would you like to see UFC fighters come in, or would you want to see some WWE guys try to do some MMA?
I mean, I'm a UFC fan too. I watch it pretty religiously. I mean, Endeavor hasn't really helped them. They don't really have stars right now, the UFC. So it'll be interesting because the WWE does. Like, you know, the UFC was sold at the perfect time, you know, right when Rousey was at her highest, right when Lesnar was at his highest, McGregor at his highest, and then they started losing right after the merge. So it's really great timing by the Fertittas to sell. So with wrestling and where they, I mean, I don't know if I would say the WWE has a, like a cross, like the next movie star. Like, I don't, so it's might be a similar position as, you know, Endeavor's an entertainment company. Like, what do they know about pro wrestling? You know, I mean, there might be more streaming options and stuff like that, but I don't know how they're going to help, to be honest with you.
I'm hoping they get the WWE out of Peacock deal, because Peacock sucks. I miss the old WWE network.
I don't know. I was watching Peacock today. I was kind of enjoying spinning around, hitting different pay-per-views, and like they had the Best of the Ultimate Warrior I'd never seen before. And but I'm new to, like, I just got a new smart.
You never had the old network.
I did. I mean, it was okay. I mean, it was kind of cool to, you know, put in Abdullah the Butcher and see some of his, I mean, he didn't have any WWE matches, which is crazy that he's in their Hall of Fame, but it was good value for $10. I wouldn't mind it going back there, but I kind of like Peacock.
All right.
I mean, I think Peacock's user interface is garbage.
Yeah, I don't like
it. Just like HBO Max. I think it could benefit them to create, for Endeavor to create their own app where you probably still have to buy the pay-per-view for UFC, but you get the same deal you do with the WWE. What I'm terrified of is that they're going to start charging for pay-per-views.
Probably.
Because we're seeing a little bit of that. I don't know if you noticed during WrestleMania Night 1, they didn't show you the lead up to the women's matches. It's like, for our premium members, you're going to see how we got here. And then everybody who wasn't a premium member got ads up until the match started. So you didn't get the whole backstory. I think the writing's on the wall, and we're going to be paying for WWE pay-per-view soon.
Probably. But it would be cool if they merge all the content. If there's one app to watch UFC and WWE together, that's not too bad. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, I pay for that. But yeah, hopefully we don't see too much of the shenanigans of, like, you know, UFC guys trying to come over and throw some work punches that they can't do because they don't know how. They don't know how to hold back.
Well, saw Junior Dos Santos, who was the heavyweight champ in AEW.
Yeah.
And another UFC champ, Andre Arlovsky.
Yeah.
They were... they seemed like they were struggling without whacking someone completely. Like, but they had fun. Like, I know both those guys are big wrestling fans, and they were good goons.
Yeah.
I think for Dan Lambert. What was that faction with Dan Lambert?
American Top Team? I don't know if they had a name, but yeah, it was American Top Team people.
So I wouldn't mind it if they were just, like, given a role where I just look mean. Like, Andre Arlovsky looks like a Russian, you know, hitman. And, you know, his in-ring work was pretty limited, like what they had him do. So I don't, like, if they're actually trying to do a match, you know, against someone who's like an LA Knight, I don't want to see that. Like,
no.
But if they're,
how about an MMA Royal Rumble?
I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, those guys, I think, you know, when you hit for real for so long, it's pretty hard to, you know, fake it. Although I would love to see the one guy who beat the shit out of Lesnar, Alistair Overeem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would love to see him and Lesnar. Like, there's a storyline there. Overeem, if he's on certain vitamins, looks very good.
Vitamins.
You know, he looks like a black, you know, Captain America. He's just like, you know.
Super jacked. Uberim is what they used to call him.
That's what they call him in Pride. So I wouldn't mind seeing something like that where there's an actual, you know, history, but, you know, or Cormier, I know, is a huge wrestling fan, but he's a little older, so I don't know if I want to see him in a wrestling ring, but...
No, he looked chunky at WrestleMania. He was there.
Well, he is. He was chunky when he... And now he's one of those guys who looks fat, but he's in great shape.
Oh, absolutely. He'll kill all of us, but...
well, yeah, if we're talking us three as the baseline of if he's going to do well or not, yeah, but...
I could take him.
I mean, you know, maybe. I mean, he didn't look too good this last couple of fights, but
yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to see too many crossovers unless it's And I certainly don't want to see wrestlers doing MMA, with the exception of Malakai Black, but that's not...
Yeah, there's a couple guys that actually train, like, even Riddle, even though I know you don't like him, but he's a former UFC guy. So I wouldn't mind seeing Riddle go over there and do some stuff at UFC.
Yeah, but WWE guys will get hurt immediately. These guys do not know how to pull punches. You see Ronda just breaking arms.
Yeah.
She does not know how to not be, like, physically violent. Which is great if you want it to look real, which it does. It's not great if you're a superstar who wants a long career and doesn't want her leg or arm ripped out.
Yeah, that's been the discussion. Like, Bret Hart was talking shit online the other day about how the new wrestling, the wrestling that we're watching in AEW and everything is just not, it doesn't feel real. It feels more phony than ever because of the people standing outside waiting to catch you when you do your crazy high spots or the leg slapping and this and that. He's like, it doesn't feel like wrestling is at its best when it looks and feels real, even though it's not. It just it's supposed to feel real. So when they do all this, all these things that they do in AEW and in NXT and WWE too, it's not, they're not exclusive to AEW, but all that standing around and it just makes it feel more phony. And I tend to agree, even though I enjoy the leg slapping and the crazy spots, because I like seeing crazy physical feats of athleticism everywhere, you know. So I don't know. I don't have a side on that, but that is a discussion that a lot of people are having, that, you know, making it look more realistic. And maybe this merger with UFC kind of brings that element in. I don't know. We'll see. But,
like, if you look at the era Bret Hart's talking about, like, just watch any early War Games or Fall Brawl where they're in the cage. You know, you get the Road Warriors and Nikita Koloff and Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. Like, it was half shoot, half work. Like, you know, when Sid Vicious picks up, what was it, Brian Pillman, knocks him unconscious with a power bomb and then picks him up again
because
he didn't like him and he wanted to hurt him. Like, you don't see that now. Like, even if you get Omega and Punk down the road somewhere, they're not going to do that to each other. Like,
no.
Back in the late or mid to 80s to say mid 90s, like, if two guys didn't like each other, it was on.
Yeah.
I do agree. Like, AEW sometimes it's like watching ballet. Like, and the moves are insane. Like, Vikingo, what's the guy's name?
Yeah, Hijo del Vikingo.
Against Omega, it was like, you know, choreographed ballet. It was amazing, but was it realistic? You know, not really.
No. You know, and going back to talking about SmackDown a little bit, since everybody was waiting to see if, you know, Vince never showed up, even though there was a picture on the internet floating around of the production offices, and the first one on the top is Vince's office. It's apparently listed at every show, even if he shows up or not. But today it did feel like a Triple H SmackDown. I don't think Vince is going to be, I think he knows that nobody wants him there. I think he knows. And also I think Triple H made a good point in his promo of pointing out that, like, this Mania that was under his control broke every record, broke attendance records, broke sales records, broke merch records. So obviously, it seems like Triple H knows what he's doing.
But how do we know that?
But also,
that's true too.
Also, under WWE only, Vince McMahon, like, the people there saw what Vince McMahon wanted them to see. And now that they're under Endeavor and it's a younger company and a lot of younger people there, they're going to pay attention to the internet a little bit more. So the outrage after Monday night and the fact that everybody was excited about Triple H and is not excited about Vince McMahon and the criticism of Monday night, they're seeing that. And they know, like, hey, we don't have to fuck around anymore and sort of continue to tell them, hey, it's all about the long story. And it's all about, like, we're telling stories here. Like, what the audience wants, the audience is going to be vocal about, even if it's not in specific stories. Like, everybody got over the Cody thing pretty quickly, and yeah, nobody wants to see him get beat up by Brock the second night, but the anger right after WrestleMania died down relatively quickly. But they will not get over the backstage stuff knowing that the creative is back in Vince's hands. Like, yeah, that is something that has nothing to do with a specific match. Like, we didn't like how the match turned out. That's their favorite product being run by somebody that they don't trust. And the company will take, like, they're going to see that.
Oh, yeah. I saw on Twitter circulating people that, if it was like a call to action, if you're at SmackDown, takeover. It was like a takeover of SmackDown. Like, if Vince is there, they wanted the fans to just kind of be very vocal and like chant "Fire Vince," you know, in as many times as possible and just take over the show. But thankfully, they didn't need to do that because it seems like, you know, we started off with wrestling, which was good. That's always a good sign that Vince is not around, because otherwise the show starts with a 45-minute promo. Started with wrestling. There was wrestling throughout up until Triple H came out. I thought they were going to save Trips to the end in case he was going to be like, all right, guys, it was fun. Vince is here. And, you know, I think they should use it as a storyline. Fuck it. Have a story with Vince. Have Vince come out as the evil... You know, evil eyebrow, dyed eyebrows and mustache.
That fucking mustache, he has it. He could get some heat with that.
Oh, my God. With the cheekbones. Like, he had cheek implants or something. And
yeah, make it a story. Fuck it. Like Tony Khan said, the best stories are the real ones. Make it a fucking story where Triple H at the end wins creative control of WWE. I don't know how they pull it off. Maybe they have champions wrestle for them, but...
Yeah,
I think it'd be funny.
Speaking of that, I was reading one. I'm not going to call out which wrestling site it was, but I'm convinced that now WWE is doing what I accused AEW of, and
feeding the Meltzers.
Because I saw two stories that specifically said there's no sign of a WWE draft coming. Nobody at the venue. No, none of the superstars we spoke to know of a draft. There's no draft coming. Those articles came out today specifically. A draft was announced. So I think, which I'm not opposed to. I don't, in my world, unless you're talking about an actual injury or maybe a fight backstage, which is going to be iffy if it's storyline related, but I'm okay with them utilizing the wrestling, the dirt sheets, if it's going to lead to people being surprised on the shows.
Yeah.
Not that the draft is a great surprise, but if they said, oh, so, like, let's say before AEW, they were like, Jay White is allegedly signing with AEW, and then he showed up on Raw, I wouldn't say this dirt sheet is garbage. I would say, oh, they're probably utilizing this to throw us off and make the surprises even bigger because it's so hard to hide things now.
Yeah, use the dirt sheets as kayfabe. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
and in return, they let these people into the press conference. Like, I'm sure they're not paying them money, but I'm sure they're like, listen, if you want to be part of our press conference, we're going to feed you a story every now and then. And then you could come ask your stupid question to Rhea Ripley, who's going to call you a moron.
Yeah.
But I also think Endeavor is going to be, they're going to look at WWE almost like a movie. And they're going to be like, speaking of Jay White, hey, why didn't we get him? Mm-hmm. Like, why did he go over there instead of here? We're WWE. We're Endeavor. We don't lose to anybody. And, you know, what about that big London show? Why didn't we announce something? You know, I think they'll be more proactive and with a younger mindset of keeping tabs on what AEW and other, you know, New Japan and other companies are doing. Like, Vince probably doesn't even know what New Japan is.
No. I mean, he knows, but I don't think he watches it. I'm sure he has somebody give him, like, a sheet of, like, here are the top things. Kind of like this. Like, here are the top stories for you to be aware of. But, yeah, I think so, too. And you know, I'm sure they're paying attention to things like Bayley wanting to walk out. You know what I mean? And that was kind of a big deal. She wanted out if Vince was back, and you know, Mercedes Moné was, you know, yes, girl, go get it. You know, get out. And, you know, we love you. Do what you got to do. Like, they got to pay attention to that. They're gonna keep losing talent if you know Vince does come back.
But on the flip side, they're probably also, like, Tony Khan's probably shitting his pants because they could offer MJF whatever he wants.
Oh yeah. But dude, and by the way, my God, MJF is the best. He's living his best life. I just saw also on the way here, MJF had a signing, and he just, people bringing him toys to sign, he would sign them and toss them across the room. Like, it's just the best. He could just be an asshole to all the fans. Like, I'm sure wrestlers, you know, they're glad to see their fans, but when those dudes show up with the fucking hand truck full of toys and like 27 of the same thing for them to sign so they can sell them on eBay, I'm sure that pisses them off and they want to do that. Like, fuck you, get out of here with your toys. But MJF gets to actually do that and get away with it because it's part of his character. It's amazing. But yeah, hopefully we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. I think we're in the clear. I think it was, like I heard, a one-off with Vince because he was already in town for Mania. And hopefully they're paying attention. They realize, look, people were not happy. We don't want Vince involved. You know, he can be chairman of the board on paper. Just keep him back there somewhere. You know what I mean? Put him in an office. Don't let him touch creative. We'll see what happens. But as you mentioned already, big stories on the AEW front. Jay White is All Elite. The Raw after Mania sucked, but the Dynamite after Mania was pretty solid. Not going to lie. You know, we had Jay White come out and help Juice Robinson to kind of reform the Bullet Club in AEW. They beat the shit out of Ricky Starks, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see maybe a new form of Bullet Club in AEW, which leads right into Forbidden Door. There's so many possibilities now. So it's really cool to see Jay White there. I would have liked to have seen him in WWE with the Good Brothers and AJ and Finn. But I feel like the Good Brothers, AJ and Finn, are like a whole different era of Bullet Club now, where Jay White, Juice, you know, the Bucks obviously are older and canny as well. But I don't know. I'm excited to see all the potential there for sure.
It was a nice coup for sure. I mean, everyone thought he was going to WWE. And, yeah. You know, I thought they really 10 seconds in the Dynamite he debuts. Like, there was no messing around. I thought they could have done it up maybe a little, like, let the match start. But, you know, I think they were feeling the pressure. And with the London show announcement, I mean, it was all in. And, you know, I'm shocked.
And the pop.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, I thought there was a little bit of confusion when he first came out. Because it was just like he was a fan almost storming the ring, and then I think people put it together. So I thought it could have been done a little more dramatically, I guess.
Oh, sure, sure.
But I'm not super familiar with him. Is he going to be a game changer in AEW?
I mean, he could be.
I've seen nothing from Adam Cole. I've seen barely anything from Bryan Danielson.
Whoa.
I mean, good matches, but is it something that's going to bring... If I'm Tony Khan, my thing is I need to bring people over from WWE to AEW. Mm. And is he going to do that? And I just don't think he will.
I think there's a promo, Eddie could probably direct you to it, that he recently did within the last few months in New Japan that is like, wow. It hooks you into his character. Like,
yeah, he's not going to bring a giant crowd like a WWE talent would, but he has the potential to be the next big AEW star that grows there. He's already a star in Japan and across other countries, but he's really good on the mic. He's got the body, and he's really good in the ring. So I think he has potential to become their biggest star next to like an MJF or something like that, for sure.
And I think with Forbidden Door and then the London show, which I think the London show will be their WrestleMania. They're going... I think
Wembley Stadium.
I mean, that's a big, big venue. So they're going to have all-star match after all-star match. And I think, you know, we'll talk about
it. Yeah, we'll get into some fantasy booking in there. The internet claims that the Jay White move was a reactionary decision based off of the Monday Night Raw after Mania. I don't think it was that reactionary, but FTR also won their match against the Gun Club and became the tag team champions and got to keep their job in AEW, which, you know, that means they also chose AEW over WWE. And a lot of people are saying it's because of what happened at Mania and what happened at Monday Night Raw.
Well, I do think in AEW you're allowed to be more you. Like, you're allowed a little bit more creativity, whereas in WWE it's 10-minute matches. This is what you're going to do, you know, do it.
Yeah.
Whereas in AEW, for better or worse, you know, Kenny Omega can do a 25-minute match. You know, now with only 3 hours of programming, you might say, I don't know if that's best, but like for the people who get the TV time, they are allowed, I think, to showcase their skills. So I only hope that they get more TV time to allow more people to showcase their skills.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for FTR to stay in AEW. As much as it would be cool to see him back in the WWE, if I were them, I would have gone with AEW solely on the fact that the last run they had in WWE, they were shaving each other's backs while the Usos made fun of them and put Icy Hot in their balls.
Not so great.
The greatest.
I've had that done before. It's brutal.
I think the decisions for a few of the people are where those belts that they would be competing for are living right now. Right now, there's nobody in that can sign with WWE that's getting a world title around their waist at any time soon.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have Roman. You have Seth Rollins, who I think is going to be one of the next top champs. You have Cody Rhodes. You have everybody that... You have a lot of people in front of you. So when you're a Jay White and you've busted your ass building the career you have, AEW, you have a better chance of holding that world title before WWE. Same thing with the tag situation. I'm sure FTR signed their agreements months ago. They didn't know where the fucking... The Usos were holding four belts. Now Owens and Zayn are holding four belts. It's like there's no room for other teams to say, oh, I could go here and be a success, because that's just not in the storyline anytime soon. So I can imagine, at least until they see the belts changing hands a little more frequently, we're not going to get big names jumping over to WWE in the men's division. The women's division, I think you can see, if you get a not that's ever going to happen, but you get a Britt Baker in there, she's a champion within 5 months.
And WWE?
Yeah. That's something where they're not being super precious, with exception to the Charlotte thing. They want to get her to 16.
17.
17's to win, but yeah, I don't know if they're going to give her the 17. They will. I guess
it's either her or Cena, right? And those are the two closest. Yeah.
I don't know if Cena's going to get it.
No, I think a Flair will probably take it from the Flair.
Yeah. I just don't see... There's not enough movement on the titles for somebody to want to sign with WWE and confidently be able to hold a title.
Yeah.
So that, I think, leans towards MJF staying in AEW.
Yes.
I think, you know, if you look at all the people ahead of him in WWE, you know, it's Cody, it's Roman, you know, Brock, whenever he feels the need to come back, a couple others, and he strikes me as the type of, I'm not going backwards. I'd rather see.
Oh, yeah.
It's always forwards. I think AEW, like, you go champion in AEW to mid-card WWE, it's still an upgrade.
But, I mean, I don't know. He strikes me as the type that he wants to be the focus of the organization, which he pretty much is. I don't think he would be in WWE, and I would say the same for Omega. I mean, Omega, yeah, it'd be cool to see him against Styles and several other matchups there, but he knows after that first month he'd be upper mid-card in WWE.
I think it depends on what happens with this draft. I think once they split the titles again, the tag team and the singles, and the world championship, I think it's more likely that we see some titles switch hands more frequently. True. Right now, it's just ridiculous.
I think the fact that MJF keeps bringing up the bidding war of 2024 is enough of a sign to tell me he's not going
anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
And I'm sure they're asking, take a guy like Sting, they're going to say, hey, what are your true feelings about what happened to you when you went there? No, I'm serious.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's true.
You know, I'm sure he's a mentor backstage, almost in a William Regal mode at this point of his life. And he seems like he's pretty well respected by even a guy like MJF. So I'm sure he would be counsel to these guys. Hey, if you go over there, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I'm imagining, just because you're saying this, I'm imagining Billy Gunn holding court in the back, telling the story of Billy and Chuck.
Oh, boy.
But, like, he probably does. He's like, hey, listen, if you think it's bad here, when you go over there and your sales pitch, look what they did to Dusty Rhodes, putting him in the polka dot outfit. And look at it, you know. And
Stardust.
Gold Dust and Stardust. I'm like, they all have stories.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's enough older guys who were in the WWE who switched over from WCW or other organizations that could tell these younger, the MJFs, even Omega, he's not young, but like, this is what it's going to be like if you go over there. So you might want to think about AEW being a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, I mean, MJF is still young. He has time to re-sign with AEW for another 4 years and then eventually go to WWE, you know what I mean? And Omega has time to do another run in AEW and then finish his career in WWE. Because, again, we've said this before, you can say whatever you want to me, to my face. There's not a single wrestler on this planet that doesn't want a WrestleMania moment.
Exactly. And here's the other thing that's great about AEW coming up now is the competition aspect. I think a lot of these guys can actually include things in their contracts that they couldn't before. So if WWE wants MJF badly enough, the money might not be his biggest ask. His biggest ask might be a title run. Mm. And I think Cody asked for that. I'm sure Cody's contract says there will be no Stardust.
Right.
Like, there are things that you can ask for when, now that there's competition that you couldn't before. So I imagine there's title runs included in some contracts now. And if I were MJF, if I was FTR, like, there would be some restrictions in order for me to go back there. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Miro in the draft.
Oh, yeah. Miro's, I mean...
Rusev Day is coming.
There's nothing. They haven't used him at all in AEW. He's perfectly healthy. He was hanging out here. He was just like, I don't know. I'm ready.
And his first run in AEW, the character, it was great.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. He was TNT champ. Yeah,
what was the Redeemer? The Redeemer. I thought that was great.
Well, I think his first gimmick was rough.
The one where he was with the guy, best
Kip
friend?
Sabian. Yeah. He was Kip Sabian. He was the best guy, the best man, and he was blonde.
Yeah,
and
no, the Redeemer was great.
The Redeemer was good, though. I like that. Yeah, but so do we think that AEW can eventually get to the levels of WWE?
No.
Eventually?
No.
Nothing.
Absolutely not. No. Man,
after being at WrestleMania Night 2, I was going, could AEW ever pull something like this off? No. We'll see after the London show, but...
Yeah, I mean, Wembley Stadium is supposedly 90,000.
Do you think they're going to sell it out?
They might.
They might.
I'm going to say no.
It depends on the card. I mean, I think you're never going to touch WWE in production. It's just, it's a 50-year company. They know what they're doing. You know, but I do think, like I think I said last week, AEW can be the Adidas to their Nike. Like, you're never going to beat them, but you can beat them with the wrestling. Like, you can have better matches. So.
Is it their first UK show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
First show.
So it might be, depending on the matchups, because, you know, a lot of the AEW stars are, I think, international stars more than they are here.
Yep. I mean, Claudio is a huge star in Europe.
Yeah. And Omega, Jay White, gigantic. Yep.
Jay White's huge over there. So what are the marquee matches? Let's do some fantasy booking to sell out a 90,000 capacity stadium. We need CM Punk, right?
I mean, you probably could go Punk and Omega.
Yeah, that has to be the main event.
But I could see MJF going, wait a minute, I'm the champ.
Oh, yeah, what about Punk and MJF? Because that was a story that kind of got cut short.
No, I think it needs to be Punk Omega. There's a true story behind it.
And I think maybe...
That's true.
I mean, you got to have MJF in the co-headlining, you know, maybe.
No, you take the belt off MJF, you give it to Punk, and you let Omega beat Punk for the title. And I don't know if Punk's going to go with that, but I think that's the only way that you make this right. And then you started MJF
Omega. Oh, Omega I'd love feud. To see that. But
I think the Bucks need to be involved because they were part of the brawl. So maybe Punk FTR, because they're a thing. FTR, CM FTR, I think they're called. They're all lovers. They love each other because of Bret Hart. But Punk and FTR versus Omega and the Bucks is a pretty big thing, right?
And Ospreay is a huge international guy.
That's true.
Like, I could see him being involved with the United Empire. Like, maybe
I'd like to see Ospreay, maybe Bryan Danielson.
I would like to see him versus Malakai Black,
or that too.
I mean, Ospreay Omega too is, and then you have Bucks against United Empire.
It has to be something they haven't seen before.
I think Ospreay Omega will be for Forbidden Door. Because Ospreay is still a New Japan guy.
Because that, I mean, that needs to be seen again by a larger audience.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely get, we'll either get Omega Ospreay at Forbidden Door or Omega Bryan Danielson for that U.S. IWGP title at Forbidden Door as well. Because I know Bryan Danielson wants to go to Japan and wrestle a little bit.
I would also say for the women, Saraya and Mercedes Moné need to be. Oof.
But that's Forbidden Door, though, because Mercedes is a New Japan star.
You need to make her All Elite before. Isn't it in August? There's some time.
Yeah, I mean. That's true. If it's a good enough card, I'm going. So
you're not going to.
Oh, I would. If it was like any of these matches we're talking about, you know.
Earl's got money.
I literally have no interest in seeing CM Punk wrestle ever again.
Me either. That wouldn't make me fly.
He botches everything. Yeah. He's done. He's done as a human. He's done as a wrestler. Just enough.
Definitely done as an MMA
but
fighter.
If it's done to set up Omega MJF, I'm down with that. Because that, you imagine the mic wars.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if MJF's on Omega's level as a wrestler, but he's good enough.
He's pretty good. He can hang, for sure.
Oh, no doubt he's good, but Omega, he really is the best bout machine. Like, he could carry anybody to a good match. So,
what was it that I said? Oh, yeah, Bullet Club versus FTR is also another big one with Jay White. I don't know. There's a lot of potential. I guess we'll see after Forbidden Door 2.
Any crossovers or any, like, big signings? I don't know who in WWE is up, if anyone. But
I heard Mr. McIntyre may be looking for, like, if McIntyre goes to AEW, he's a champion in months.
Oh man, and at Wembley?
But you need a one big oh my god surprise. He's or she is here, and then you know I think the UK. I think it'll sell out if it's a great card. And
90,000. It's more than SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, but you just paper it. Like,
that's what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to buy a lot of the tickets and paper it.
But that's what they did for WrestleMania. I mean, I know a lot of people who were there on the free.
Oh no, I know. But so the numbers that they announce, it's 90,000 seats. But the numbers they announce is attendance. It's not like, how many tickets sold.
Like paid.
It's how many people walked into the game.
100%.
Yeah,
that's the number I want to look at. You could tell me there's 90,000 seats and it's sold out, but if I see all the sections are fucking empty, I'm gonna be like, okay, so they offered free tickets to everybody and nobody gave a shit.
I mean, for you, you're an AEW guy, so I get it. But for me, there's no card big enough to make me go to England, to Wembley for that.
But if it's like Omega and Punk and then
that's
FTR and...
It doesn't matter. If I was in the UK, I wouldn't buy a ticket to this.
Oh, if I was already there, I'd definitely go.
I mean, I know that. Yeah,
great shopping there. You know, yeah. Maybe me and Jimmy Carr do the post show.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Jimmy, are you listening? Bitch.
Oh, here we go.
Beat you once. I'll do it again on your home turf.
Ooh, damn.
That match never happened.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't think AEW can get to the heights of WWE. Maybe in 20 years, but who knows if they're still around in 20 years. Do you think that with Endeavor taking over, there's more possibility of potential working together with AEW?
No, I think for right now, they're going to still see Warner Discovery as a competition and Warner Brothers Discovery as a competition. I don't think they have any interest. I don't think there's any value in AEW right now. Like, legitimately, there are people that could help WWE if you brought them over. Adam Cole should be the first on the list to bring back. I don't really care for Daniel Bryanson to come back. I don't care for Mox to come back. You bring back Adam Cole. I mean, Bryan has the yes champ, but there's something about, like, being at WrestleMania, there's something about the superstars that have something that the audience can be in on, whether it's singing Seth Rollins thing, it's when Cody comes out, Roman throwing the hand. There needs to be some kind of... Mox doesn't have that. Mox is the most vanilla, boring fucking person I've ever seen wrestle. Like, I don't want him coming back, and I know that he's going to get to the point where he gets angry with AEW, tries to come back. But you bring back Adam Cole, the crowd goes nuts for him. You bring back, I mean, Jericho, I think, is going to retire with WWE. I don't give a fuck what he says.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jericho will definitely come back.
Yeah. I mean, right now he's in, I need everybody to think I'm fully behind AEW, so I'm going to keep saying that I'm retiring with AEW. That's not happening.
No. No, he needs his Hall of Fame moment and his Mania moment at the end of his career for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with you on Mox. I don't want to fight about it, but I've seen Mox wrestle in New Japan. I've seen Mox wrestle at Bloodsport. Mox is a fucking tremendous wrestler.
No, I don't care.
He's just very vanilla.
Well, yeah, I don't care about the wrestling. I want to have fun. I want, right. Like, the way the chants broke out for some of the superstars at WrestleMania or at Raw or SmackDown, the LA Knight chants were all night long at SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't talk about it. He came back. We briefly mentioned that he came back on SmackDown. hopefully they don't fuck him up. But
the crowd popped the second he showed up on the screen.
They went nuts. And when he was the biggest boo of the night when he got eliminated from the Andre the Giant thing at SmackDown. That was the biggest boo all weekend.
Yeah.
They genuinely thought he had a chance. Meanwhile, as soon as they brought in, what's his name? I knew he was winning.
Bobby Lashley.
As soon as he came out, I'm like, there's no chance that anybody else wins this.
He got his own entrance. Everybody else was already in the ring, but he got his own entrance.
He got his own entrance. Braun Strowman got his own entrance. I was like, Lashley's winning. And then when LA Knight got eliminated on SmackDown, they booed.
Yeah.
And he loved it. Like, he knows. Even though Earl reconfirmed, you're a good bad guy.
I meant it, though. He is a great bad guy. Like, you hate the guy.
Yeah.
By the way, if the AEW were to throw Goldberg on that London card, it'd be a horrible match, whoever he's going to wrestle. But, like, it's a name. Like,
that is a
I
big
think
name.
They could do one big giant show. Could they have consistent 90,000 selling show? No, but I think you throw in some nostalgia guys like Goldberg, some great matches, and I'm on a plane, first class, of course, to London. I don't fly in coach.
Yeah. LA Knight mentioned on the SmackDown the whole thing about how he was missing from Mania. Like, you're in Los Angeles. How do you not, he brought it up. So that was kind of.
It was cool. Dumb for them not to have him on at all.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens moving forward. That's all the news stories for today. I mean, I'm sure there's more news right now if I were to pull up Twitter, because that's how crazy wrestling is these days. But to bring back the old topics, I brought the final thing for this whole long week and a half, 2 week WrestleMania vibe that we have. I wanted to get top WrestleMania moment, best WrestleMania card historically, and best WrestleMania celebrity appearance for you. I'm going to have to look up real quick. I believe it's either 6 or 7 for me on the card, but I just want to confirm it real quick. If anybody wants to go first on the top WrestleMania moment for you.
I would say Hogan passing the torch to Warrior. Iconic. Now, it didn't work out, but like...
Was that 6, WrestleMania 6?
Yeah, in Toronto, Sky Dome. Like, it was a pretty big deal. For Hogan to finally go, okay. Now, granted, he did get up about 0.2 seconds after the pin. It didn't exactly sell the move, but, that moment of them hugging in the center of the ring, like, for me, is the one that stands out the most.
Hmm. Yeah, mine, I would say, probably... I mean, mine's very recent. I don't know. I mean, that TLC match... But, yeah, just Rollins cashing in the belt was such a big one, just because nobody remembered that he had the belt and he just took it from Brock and Roman. So that was a pretty big one for me.
Okay. For me, I think it was WrestleMania 13. Was it the double turn with Steve Austin and Bret Hart? Was that the right call there? Was that the Mania?
I don't remember.
I mean, I'm not going to say that that's my top. I'm going to honestly say, and then maybe I'll sound stupid for saying this, but one of my top, and if not the top WrestleMania moment, was the Hardys coming back. When they came back, that they were in the indies destroying everybody. They were at Ring of Honor. They were what they call their expedition of gold, the gold expedition, where they went and got championships everywhere. And nobody thought that they would show up in WWE. And then the New Day popped in and they were like, oh, there's going to be a fourth team. And everybody thought it was going to be the New Day. They were kind of like, oh, whatever, I guess. And then they were like, the Hardy music hit. That is the loudest pop I've ever heard. Ever. In anywhere. Because at that moment in time, they were super hot on the indies and nobody thought they would ever show up. So I'm going to go with that as my top Mania moment. The Hardys comeback. What Mania was that?
That was 2021, so that was 37.
37, I think, yeah. That was, to me, that was...
two Manias ago.
No, it wasn't 2021. It was before pandemic.
It was before pandemic?
Yeah.
So that was 2019.
Yeah. Hardy's comeback at Mania. Let's see here.
It was
WrestleMania 33, 2017.
Really?
Yep.
Oh my God! It's been wow.
It's been a while. But that was such
it's
a shocking
six
moment.
6 years already.
And I was following the whole thing. I was really into the Hardys, Broken Matt Hardy's whole thing with Brother Nero. If you haven't seen that whole like Final Deletion with Matt Hardy, Broken Matt Hardy, that he created this whole universe of characters, and he was wrestling at his house, and it was just they tried to do it with Bray Wyatt after they came back. Bray Wyatt had the Final Deletion with him. It was okay, but the whole thing with his like landscape guy, I forget his name now, but they had all these characters. It was such a great thing. I was following it all along, and then eventually they showed up. That huge, huge moment for me. Best WrestleMania card for you?
2000.
2000.
WrestleMania 2000, easy.
What's the card on that?
I'll pull it up.
Earl, do you have a card?
And I don't really have one in particular. The early ones with Piper. You know, he was such an amazing bad guy. I don't really have one where I'm like, oh my God, that's my favorite from top to bottom. But I would say, I think WrestleMania 3. I think it's a generation thing.
Sure.
Like you guys are going to pick like more recent ones. But although some of the early ones weren't exactly the most technological, I think that some of the ring entrances, Andre the Giant was literally just him in a chariot.
Yeah. I remember that.
I like the early ones with Andre the Giant. Because I think the first two, he was still pretty mobile. And then he got a little, a little older.
Okay. For me, I'm going to say WrestleMania 8, actually. I'm pretty old there. But that was one of the earlier ones that I remember. I remember having it on VHS. That card, WrestleMania 8, if you go back, you had the Beverly Brothers versus the Bushwhackers. You had Shawn Michaels versus Tito Santana, which I loved. You had The Undertaker versus Jake Roberts, Jake the Snake. That was a great match. Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper. You had Sergeant Slaughter, Big Boss Man, Jim Duggan, and versus the Mountie and the Nasty Boys. You had Randy Savage versus Ric Flair. You had Tatanka versus Rick Martel. Not the best match on the card. But Owen Hart was on the card. You had Hulk Hogan versus Sid Justice. To me, WrestleMania 8 was a banger, as the kids say. It was bussin', as Earl would say.
Okay, mine was actually, it was 2001 at WrestleMania 17. So that's, I could go through the whole card, but the ones that stand out, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit.
Oof.
The table, ladders, and chairs, Dudley's, Edge and Christian, and the Hardys. That's the gimmick battle royal won by the Iron Sheik. Undertaker versus Triple H, and then Steve Austin versus The Rock.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hell of a card.
Yeah. Oh, and it's also Shane McMahon versus Vince McMahon.
Oh, my God. Oh man. All right, I'm pulling up here best celebrity matches at WrestleMania.
Celebrity matches or celebrity appearance?
I guess appearance works too. I'm going to let you go first if you have one, John.
I mean, if we're talking matches, I think it's either Bad Bunny or Logan Paul. I don't think there's been a match where a celebrity's had a better appearance in terms of what they were able to do and how they were. But I think Tyson was probably one of the best storylines involving a celebrity. I don't, the Vince McMahon wasn't, Vince McMahon Trump wasn't WrestleMania, right?
No.
Yeah, I would say Tyson with the DX and Stone Cold storyline.
Okay. How about you?
I mean, if you're just going appearance, you got to go Liberace, man.
Liberace.
I mean, he's so iconic. But if you're going match, definitely Logan Paul, Tyson.
I'll say Mike Tyson at WrestleMania 14. It was one of my big ones. He was involved with Shawn Michaels. I think that's when he... It was the turn, right? When
the DX Stone Cold.
The DX turn.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Taylor, he wasn't horrible. Who was he up against? Bam Bam Bigelow?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, Bam Bam definitely carried the match. But, Lawrence Taylor, if you're a football fan, it's pretty iconic.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's picking Snoop Dogg at WrestleMania 39.
Nope.
But I mean, given the that was done on the fly, right?
Once, it was on the fly, and it was in Inglewood, so it's kind of cool, I guess.
But who do you think made that call? Someone had
Triple H. I mean, Triple H just probably said, "Hey, tell Snoop to go."
Ref. The ref had to be the one to tell him.
Because at first I thought, "Oh man, they're burying the Miz," but now I get it.
Yeah.
Just like when I was watching the cage match, I'm like, this match is kind of slow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you see the injury. So that, how long is really Edge needing to look for these kendo sticks? They're everywhere.
Special shout out because I watched WrestleMania finally, actually watched it on Peacock to see. To be honest, I was watching to see if I could spot myself in the audience, but I did spot an enormous Cuban flag right behind Cody during his entrance, and I gotta say, that was awesome. You're not watching this, but if you were, fuck yeah, that was cool.
Did you see that one fan? He was sitting in like the section 500, and he found me with my beanie on. He's like, "Where's Waldo?" And he's like, like, how he saw me is really like amazing.
Well, what's great is that you texted me with section 109 striped beanie, like that was like the call. Like,
well, I was in with the Make a Wish kids. Like, no, I don't know how I got in there. Like. You know, I had my Ric Flair shirt on, so every kid was like...
They told one kid he couldn't come.
Hey, whatever, it's a free ticket. I don't care what kid had to stay home.
Earl's a Make-A-Wish kid now.
Well, yeah. Well, it really was. The whole week was, you know, getting to meet Medusa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all these, you know, guys we talk about and girls, and everyone was cool. And, you know, we're still all high from the, you know, the coolness of what we got to experience.
Well, WrestleMania 40 won't be here in LA, so it won't be as crazy for us. But I'm sure there'll be another LA event, and hopefully we'll go even bigger next time. But that's all the news. That's all the topics we have. We'll see you guys next week. Please make sure to follow us on Instagram at Comedy Store Wrestling. Follow us on Twitter at Store is War. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. Earl, tell them where to get you.
At Earl Skakel and, you know, the Inappropriate Earl podcast, which isn't wrestling-based, but there are several wrestling interviews. Chavo Guerrero, Roddy Piper, Virgil, if you want to hear how big his dick is. That's
his breadstick.
And donate to his GoFundMe. I think he actually is pretty sick. So
yeah, he's not doing too well.
You know, he's a good egg. And, you know, so... That's it. And yeah, if you want to come to the Comedy Store and watch me, just hit me up on Instagram. I'll make sure you're taken care of.
There you go. And John, Comedy Store Studios.
That's right.
Follow John at Comedy Store Studios. We have a lot of great shows on the network. We just announced a new one, right? The Dogs of Browntown.
Yeah, we got the Dogs of Browntown, three of our door guys.
What is that?
That's
Joel Jimenez.
Three not white people.
Three non-white, three browns.
What is the Dogs of Browntown? Skateboarding?
Nope.
Just brown dudes. Just brown dudes talking. I'll probably be a guest on it at some point, Joel said. So we'll see what's up. You can't be a guest on the show, Earl. You're not brown enough. Well, anyway, okay. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Please tell your friends, and we'll see you next week.